Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Olde Braves. It's me, Ronnie Karam. You can find me over on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. And here I am with the gorgeous, talented, hung like a stallion, rich as a Rockefeller, Ben Mandelker. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi. Oh, my goodness. That's so exciting that I got those new adjectives today. That's very complimentary. Thank you very much.
You can also be heard over on the Game Brain podcast, and you can be seen, kind of, as your cartoon characters over on The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, available on LUTube. So go check that out. Go get your masks over at Crappens Merch, everybody. Still in mask mode, so go get those. Thanks to everybody who's watching us on video, because right now it's Crappens On Demand Day, as usual, for Beverly Hills. And what else was I going
to say?
Shout
out to all the people on Discord. We got a nice Discord community going now.
Shout out to Discord.
There have been some like weekly Zoom hangouts on Discord, which I've missed the past 3 weeks in a row. So I apologize, but I really am trying to get to those. But like, super cool that that's happening over
there.
That's
cute. That's fun. And then today is episode 1300. 1300.
Spooky.
Spooky. Which is crazy.
Episode 1300 of our podcast, not of this season of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, it's actually a shortened episode. It's actually a shortened season of Beverly Hills, even though it seems like it's been 1300 to some of you. Personally, I've been enjoying it.
I think it's great. I think it's been a great season.
But before we jump back into that and finish that up until reunion time next week or the next 2 weeks, let us go to some small business shout-outs. Okay. This is Rebecca from Salt Lake City. She's in an area called Sugar House. And she has a business called Sugar House Cleaning. She's a green cleaning company. She specializes in residential deep cleans, maintenance cleanings, and move-in, move-out cleanings. They closed down for COVID, but she is ramping back up with coronavirus precautions in place. They sanitize their tools. They use solo cleaners. They follow quarantine guidelines for customers and employees. So give them a call. So just look up Sugar House Cleaning, okay? If you're in that area.
Yeah, and I got one. Erica sends this to us because her partner, Joao, oh my goodness, PTSD from Below Deck Med, Joao, but I'm sure a different Joao. He has a small business called Ultimate Comfort. Ultimate Comfort is a Latino-owned and family-owned heating and air company located in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, we were just there a few months ago. They are indoor comfort experts who service all HVAC brands for both commercial and residential properties and always offer excellent customer service. Okay. So you can check them out at ultimatecomforthvac.com if you're in the market for HVACs and things like that. So thank you, Erica. And thanks for being a Erica says, I've been cracking up from the two of you since I was a teenager way back in the TVgasm days.
Oh, jeez. You got to say that.
I didn't know that we've been around long enough for someone to say they've been listening to us since they were a teenager. But that's crazy. And now she has a husband who has an HVAC business. This is what's happening. Oh, God. Wow. Oh, God.
The world just keeps on turning.
World keeps on turning, and so does the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I was trying to think if there was anything else to mention at the top of the episode. Obviously, there was some big news the past few days that we haven't even addressed in the podcast. That's because we addressed it in our bonus episode. Dorinda Medley left Real Housewives of New York. Why is she fired? So we're going to be talking about
mean
that.
Drunk. You better back it up, Daily Mail.
That's all in our bonus episode this week.
Yes. As well as we'll be talking about the Luann music video. Diva, I'm a diva.
Diva, diva, diva,
I'm a diva.
Diva,
I'm a diva. Diva, diva. I'm a diva in a hallway. I'm a diva in a car. So that's it. Her new experience in not auto-tuning. So go ahead and find that.
I really, really respect that she decided to just not auto-tune herself this time around.
Yeah.
Just give us the raw Luann voice.
A raw countess. Okay, so here we are with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season finale. Ooh, who has Lisa Vanderpump manipulated this season? Let us find out.
I know, and we know things are serious this episode because it starts off saying Thursday.
Ooh, days
of
the week.
So whenever there's like timestamps,
yes,
serious happened.
When there's a day of the week and it looks like it's being eaten by a passing dog, like the it's like Monday, and then the dog passes and it disappears as the dog passes over it. Ooh.
Dog passing over the title.
They're like, let's pull out all the artistic stops for this finale. So we finally find out this season what this has all been about, because in the beginning, you know, Kyle made it this huge mystery, like, if we knew just how bad it was going to be, we would have rethought, or whatever it was, and Denise has skipped the last 6 weeks of filming. Well, today we find out that she did not skip 6 weeks of filming. They just kept shooting because they had nothing. They had nothing. So they just kept shooting, hoping that they could trap Denise in some kind of trap, and she never showed up for it. So nice try, suckers.
Yeah, exactly. It's like she skipped Dorit's party. So, so it opens up with Kyle. She has her collection of rags at Sutton's store because Sutton has agreed. She's like, you know what I want to do, Kyle? I want to experiment with the idea of business. What happens if I put a terrible business inside my good business? Can I fix it? Wow, I'm already closed down. I can't believe that. The moment I put that dress on the mannequin, if we are to call it a dress.
Yeah, she's going to have another thing coming if she thinks that people are going to be piling in there to see Kyle buy not Aileen anymore too.
Yeah, exactly. So Sutton's gay Jordan, he is like, I mean, he's very excited about Kyle's clothing. He's like, I'm obsessed.
I'm obsessed.
I love how this is like a candy cane, but shredded up and turned into a robe. Obsessed.
Do you know what I want to know? The story. I want to know the story behind all of this. It's a bunch of shit Kyle found on Alibaba, okay? And Upmark and Upriced. What do you think it is? There's a story.
He pulls off this hideous thing. It's like a flowing robe with red stripes and everything. And Kyle goes, oh, I love wearing that with just jeans. I'm like, of course, like, if there was any way to make this thing look any worse, would be to imagine it with like a pair of bangs and jeans.
Yeah, it's like it's a glittered bathrobe, basically.
Don't give me a store. Don't give me a complete visual with this, please.
And Sutton's like, well, you know, Sutton hates everything. So she's just kind of looking at it with her little cat eyes. And she's like, Kyle, I like sparkly things. That's what I like. Hopefully, if we just put sparkly things in the window, it'll hurt people's eyes and they'll look away and just keep walking until the storm has passed.
Yeah, Sutton is actively calculating how much money is it worth it to her to have this exposure on Bravo, but at the expense of putting Kyle's stuff in her window. She's like, do I care about selling out? Does it count as selling out if no one even knew I was here in the first place?
Yeah. And Kyle's like, well, I mean, I'm no couture designer, but, you know, her clientele lounges around yachts listening to yacht rock.
Wow, that's great. That's a great angle for your clothing, yacht rock. Okay.
Yacht rock.
Meanwhile, by the way, let's not forget that Kyle and Mauricio rented a yacht in France. So they are yacht rockers too.
Yeah. So Garcelle is with Lisa, her producing partner, at their big meeting. Their big meeting for the movie that Garcelle's going to be doing. They finally found a director.
Yeah.
Her name finally is Amy Barrett. She's basically the Steven Spielberg of...
I want to look up her credits.
I did look them up. It was like Amy Barrett self. Come on. Amy.
You look a Berlin up
Amy
friendship.
Barrett... filmmaker.
Let's see. I'm not gonna bash her because, you know, like, I'm not about to, like, she's like just a director, but I'm just very curious to see. Let's see. So she has a short called Carry Me, and she has Unreal the Auditions. Okay, so that's about that show.
Yeah, but I don't know what the auditions means. TV miniseries, like, for
like
episodes.
A digital something.
Oh yeah. And the Christmas Ball and Staging Christmas, which Staging Ball, let me see where this is. production.
She is probably so. These are probably some Hallmark movies, and she's probably like,
I think it's Hallmark. Yeah,
that's a nice connection.
I think it is because she did Christmas Unwrapped. Let me look at this movie poster. Oh my god, this is so funny. Cynical reporter Charity Amber Stevens West gets the opportunity of a lifetime when her boss Janet Cheryl Ladd assigns her to profile Eric Gallagher, Marco Granzini, a handsome. Oh, of course he's handsome. It's handsome dot dot dot. They're like, you know what? Get the handsome before the dot dot dot. I don't want to lose people's interest. A handsome bachelor who organizes millions of dollars to help the less fortunate. Oh yeah, this has got to be Hallmark.
Yeah.
And her name is Charity.
It's just funny to me because I'm also looking
charities.
At
charities. Her name is Charity. Guys, how did they ever get together? How did these hot, thin white people ever find the time to love each other?
It's just funny to me because Amy Barrett has a, like in 2014, she had a short called Lars and Jonathan, A Berlin Friendship, which you know is probably like an edgy short film that was like, you know, made a splash at some festival. And she's like, yeah, I just speak real universal truths. And now, like, because of Hollywood, she's stuck making Staging Christmas and the Christmas Ball. Like, that's what happens. If you want to know what happens to female directors, you know, the male directors who come out of Sundance make Jurassic Fart. And then the females... they come out and they have to do Hallmark movies.
Oh, man. Well, Amy Barrett says, she's like, well, Garcelle's like, well, obviously we want it to be collaborative. It's our baby. I mean, with you directing it, congratulations, Amy Barrett. You win. And Amy's
question.
Like,
oh, you have access to Josh Duhamel. We were thinking he'd be great for this part.
Do you have anybody who can play a character described as handsome? That would be nice. Now, there's something we're looking for in today's film. And Amy is like, oh, gosh, you know, the moment I read the script, I said, this is the type of movie that needs to be made these days. What does that mean?
You know what? That means that Amy is playing the game. She's acting as if she just got the script for, like, I don't know, like Saving Private Ryan or something. like a groundbreaking, you know, important movie, and then we find out the movie is, it's called Split Marriage. It's a psychological thriller. Okay,
what do you do when your pants split, and how does that affect a marriage? Terrifying film.
Amy's like, no, this needs to be made. You know, it's like when I was pitching Hallmark on the 12 Days of Love Miss, I said, this has people need to feel love around the holidays. We have to do this.
You know, when I went into Hallmark, I said, first of all, I want the guy to be handsome. Is he going to be handsome? I want to cancel him. Okay, so he runs charities. Her name is Charity. I want him to stalk and probably almost murder her, but then she gets the knife at the end and then has to kill him three different times because he keeps getting back up. And they're like, no! We're not doing that these days. And she's like, but that's the kind of movie that needs to be made these days. And I'm like, no.
Yes.
And now she gets to do it without the Christmas part. And it's the kind of movie that needs to be made these days.
Yes, exactly. She's like, listen, here's what I say. We get one of the guys who's on Desperate Housewives. We get that girl from Zoe's Infinite Playlist. And maybe someone who was on Party of Five back in the day. We put them together. It snows, but there's murder. Finally, my movie.
One thing I don't see on this IMDb page is splitting. What is it called? Split Marriage. Do not see that on here. Do not see it in production.
Let's see if it's splitting marriage. Splitting. Well, I mean, I kind of feel bad because I'm assuming everything got put to the side because of, you know.
Oh, the Rona. You're right.
Split Marriage. But I'm doing a search for Split Marriage on IMDb. Split Marriage in development. Okay. Okay.
There you go.
Oh, there's Garcelle on. Oh, there's like some vintage image of Garcelle on the poster. There's no information except that it's in development. We'd have to get IMDb Pro.
We'll see. But this entire 10-minute segment aside, we'd love Garcelle. You're going to do great.
We love Garcelle and female filmmakers, and we want to support them.
Yeah, you're going to do great. And she's on the reel. She got cast on the reel, so she's going to be one of the new ladies on that. So congrats. Okay, so now let's go over to Dorine Piquet decorating for a party. It's going to be a real bon raisin.
She can have like pigs and hay. What's happening anyway? Like she's acting like the country fair is coming to town and it's gonna be at their place.
Yeah, they live in a farmhouse now.
They do. They live in a modern farmhouse. So we see some decor. There's like nutcrackers around, but then Dorit also has this terrifying jester that's in a sleigh by the front door.
Yes.
I was like, what is this? Is this supposed to like fend off like any potential snacks from coming in the house and imperiling PK?
I know. I saw that and I was like, oh my God, is Kim Richards taking a nap outside your house? What is going on?
Should someone wake up Carlton? Is she okay?
So they're planning with Nick. He's like, we are gonna ball this bitch out or whatever. It's like, I was thinking big presents, black gold presents in a sleigh. And he's like, yes. And she goes, that's the moment. That's
That's the moment.
the
Some people wait a lifetime for a moment like this.
moment.
So she starts talking about how, you know, she and PK have dealt with a lot of BS in the past. And she's like, I mean, what do people want? The real tax returns of Beverly Hills. I'm like, actually, I think actually people would really like
I
that.
would
Yes.
fucking love to see those tax returns. Yes, actually, that sounds great.
I would just like to watch the real CPAs of Beverly Hills, the real CPAs of Tarzana. That would be great.
And then we see her having a great family time in her home with her kids, and there's a slide in a room. There's a pool. She's like, it feels like a happy home. You know what doesn't make homes happy? Texas! You know what does make them happy? Slides! Pools! No? Heart. Fine. A heart makes a home. A heart with a slide in a pool. Not ever paying a cent in tax. That makes a happy home.
Be careful, Dorit. That home is cursed. That's Chris Shell and Justin's home, so be careful. Then Dorit says something that I feel like only Dorit would have ever said on one of these shows. Is the magician integrating into the party or with the people? I don't even understand the context of that. Is that just like a general philosophical question, or is it pertaining to this party? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, is it integrating? And PK's like, well, I don't think so. Unless you want to make some of your friends disappear, I could have a word with that. And she's like, no. What if I wanted to make my husband disappear? And Nick's like, we'll need a bigger saw.
Yeah, you see just PK like scrambling to grab all the potato chips. If you make me disappear, I'm taking these with me. So Dorit basically wants everyone to come to the party, bury the hatchet, you know. And she's like, you know, it was only a few years ago that Lisa Rinna and I were not in a good place, but then we went into a perilous place by getting into that crazy Ferris wheel in Las Vegas, and with the sun beaming down on us, almost catching us on fire, we decided it's better to be friends than to die in this glass ball up above the sun, above the Vegas Strip.
I can stand Lisa Rinna now. Now I know I can get through anything. I mean, look at PK. Went from diabetes 2 to 6 back to 0.5. He's lost so much that diabetes lost to D. Now it's just diabetes. We're going to keep at it till he's down to just an ease.
He lost so much that diabetes even lost a D. It's diabetes. It's reverse bingo, reverse horse. So Dorit thinks that like Denise and Lisa can figure out their shit, basically. And then she starts telling PK about how Denise didn't show up to the Pico de Beppo, but Brandy showed up instead. And she starts saying how she felt like really responsible as a friend to Denise to start challenging Brandy about all these texts and phone calls and this and that and emails, whatever. She felt like it was her job to challenge Brandy on that front.
Yeah, because she showed everybody text messages, and PK goes, well, that's not a friend, is it? And she's like, let me finish. I need to finish this, PK. I'll have to be able to finish a sentence here. I can't remember what I was going to say. And he's
he
like,
goes, I don't know what to say to you. She's like, that's because I didn't finish.
he goes, honey, it's hard to have a conversation when it's a 10-minute speech. He goes, she's like, yes, but you never listen to anything. He's like, all right, now listen, I'm a great communicator. She's like, only when it's him talking.
Yeah, this whole banter about this, it actually is like quite frustrating to me because quite frustrating because I'm like, BK, you're not supposed to be talking right now. You're just supposed to be listening to her. She's trying to explain the situation. She's like, but what do I have to do with it? Nothing. You just have to listen, BK.
Yeah. So he's like, well, keep me out of it then, babe. All right. The only way I'm in this is if they're attacking you. And she's like, it's not about me for one time in life, but it will be. When I get the 5-story champagne bottle in the pool, it will be, PK.
Keep it that way, babe. So now it's Friday, Friday, Friday. And oh goodness, Lisa Rinna is at Teddy's house FaceTiming Erica in New York City. Which gosh, I'm still a big Lisa Rinna fan, but I can't deal with her spending her off time at Teddy's house. It's really hard for me to
It's
process.
sad, yeah. She's wearing a hat that says Soul really big, and
Like the
Rinna,
Soul Cycle, I think.
and Teddy is wearing a hat that says All In by Teddy.
All in.
All In
Yeah, by
by
the way,
Teddy.
the New York Times crossword this week, one of the clues, one of the answers, spoiler alert, was all in, and I nearly threw it across the back. I was like, fuck this. Hi, I'm a clue. All in. So they're FaceTiming Erica, and Rena's like, ah, how exciting for you to do what I did 18 years ago. How exciting.
Oh, Erica, it's going to be the role of a lifetime playing me, playing Roxy Hart.
Well, I'm just back in New York and walking to work like I used to when I was 18. I had a backpack on my back, stepping in garbage, have someone throwing the hypodermic needles at my forehead. Just like the old times, am I right, everyone?
Still got a pair of fishnets in my backpack, just like the old days. And she's making a like an Instagram video or something, and she says, "You know, you made it when you're on a trash can in New York City, baby." And they show
Yeah.
her a Chicago poster on the
You definitely left at the right time, just in time for New York to get cold and snowy and full of sleet, and for us to have like some petty drama about Denise not showing up to a party. You left at the right time.
can. Yeah. So they hang up with her, and Teddy's like, "Oh no, what's it gonna be like on Saturday?" And Rena's like, "Well, clearly, Denise hasn't been honest. I texted her a few times. I said the party's Saturday, and she said good. And then, I just feel torn because I want to be a good friend for her, and I don't feel like I've been a good friend. Have I been a good friend? But now I go, maybe I have been a good friend, and she's manipulated me into thinking that I'm not a good friend. Oh, manipulation! Oh, God, Daddy, what do I do?"
You know what? She is gonna have to take responsibility for what happened, okay? You make your bed and you have to fucking sleep in it. And sometimes that bed is filled with nails and snakes and pillows that haven't been chopped in the center. Unchopped pillows! What a travesty, unchopped pillows!
Sometimes those beds are filled with Brandy Glanvilles. You know what? When you make your bed and Brandy Glanville's in it, you better do some Brandy Glanville and admit it to the world. We are going to out you whether you like it or not.
Oh, bed, you're so angry, bed. You're so
So
angry.
angry. So angry.
So angry, bed. So now Saturday. Ooh, that was a great Friday. I'm so glad we stopped by on
Wow.
Friday to see what was
Woo!
happening on Friday.
Fridays in
Ooh.
Beverly Hills.
Wow. Rita
Woo-hoo-hoo!
went to Teddy's house and FaceTimed with Erica and then talked about making your bed and sleeping in it. Wow. Okay. Whew. So now we're at Saturday. I don't know how Saturday can even top Friday, to be honest, but okay, we'll try. We'll try.
We're at Dorit's house, and the party's getting ready. And she's getting all her glam, and she's like, "Honey, how did that gray suit fit you, Piquet?" And he comes in wearing a black like silk blazer, sateen. I think I'll go with sateen blazer with white palm trees all over it. And he's like, "How about this one, babe?" And she's like, "Oh, maybe not tonight, or ever. Don't ever wear it again, Piquet."
PK, how many times do I have to tell you Beverly Beach is not going into menswear? PK, take that off.
Why does everything you wear look like a bikini at the end of the day?
All right, babe, how about this? PK, are you just wearing a bunch of Pringles cans on your side? What's that, PK? That's not a blazer. It's a Pringles can.
So Rinna is with her glam squad putting on different wigs. And she's like, what should we name my wig? What should we name her? Yeah. I love when people name their wigs. Like they do it on Atlanta. Or any drag show across America.
And Kyle is, she's got like a big poof. She sort of looks like Tracy Turnblatt from Hairspray. Like that retro poofy thing. And it occurred to me, I'm surprised that Kyle has not tried to dress like Ariana Grande yet. Like, I feel like that should have happened already. And I'm surprised.
She's done the top ponytail quite a bit.
She's done the top pony. I'm surprised she just hasn't shown up with, like, you know, white boots. But Kyle is reliably, you know, a few years behind, you know, trends that aren't even really trends. So that'll happen. I mean, I think once she's done saying on fleek, which I think she's mainly gone that out of her system, maybe it'll be time for her to start dressing like Ariana Grande. I'm just saying, it's a prediction. I think Ariana Grande looks are going to be in her future. Yeah. You know?
So she talks about how Kim got new boobs and new teeth. She's like, good, now maybe we can get her married off. I mean, she's got more engagement rings than anyone I've ever met in my life.
She does, actually. And then we go over to Teddy, who's with her now. So Teddy has put on a maternity dress. And it's like this black maternity dress that has these big puffy shoulder pads. And her daughter's like, those shoulder pads are fat. And he's like, what? Don't you mean fluffy? No, fat. Those are fat shoulder pads. They're fluffy. They're fluffy shoulder pads.
They're fat, mother. They're fat. Your shoulder pads
are fat. I'm like, you better be careful because Teddy's going to have those shoulder pads on an elliptical machine by the end of the night.
No kidding. Get ready to never eat more than 200 calories a day, shoulders.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Teddy, I love this cool cut-off shoulder look. Oh, actually, there are shoulder pads, but I put them on the treadmill tonight.
Yeah, at the end of the night, we're going to get a shot of that dress lying on Teddy's like little couch at home with a bill on it for not sticking to its calories.
Yeah, exactly. So then we go over to Garcelle, who's with her glam team, and talking about how Denise is very nervous and she just feels vulnerable right now. And Garcelle just wants Denise to know that she has her back. So,
yes. And Garcelle, every scene is like, you know, I just think she should do this because I have her back. And that's what good friends do, so that she can have the argument. I had your back like good friends do when you didn't show yeah. up, you know. And exactly. So then we go back to Dorit, and she's directing her party guy on how to open the door. She's like, listen, now the door needs to stay closed because it's more of an impact when you open it and you see inside. All right, Dorit. All right.
Have you ever seen a foyer before? It has much more of an impact when you open the door and see it as opposed to just walking up and just seeing it just flaccid there. You know, one wants a flaccid foyer. You want to open to a revealed foyer. That's what you want.
Did somebody call for flaccid, babe? Not you, PK. Listen for once.
And then a guy who may have just come from a Renaissance fair shows up. He's like, hey, I'm Steven, and I'm your pyro guy for tonight. I'll be lighting your candles. I'm like, Steven, yes, technically you are dealing with fire, but like, if your only task is to go and check on votives all night long,
you're,
I feel
not
like
a
calling
pyro
yourself
guy.
Pyro is like a little bit of an overstatement.
Well,
hey, I'm
on
pyro.
Much.
Oh shit, everyone stay clear. Everyone, I need everyone to step back. We need to light the votive. Excuse me. All right, one moment, everyone. Let me just put on my welding mask. All right, and this is gonna take just one second, but it is very dangerous. All right. All right, everyone, the votives. We lit the votive.
Now,
did someone
say
something about a tea candle?
You said a wielding helmet, a welding helmet, and I just had to mention, I saw my mom yesterday, and I walk in, and my mom is wearing one of those new things. It looks like a welding helmet. It's like all plastic. It's like a plastic mask, and it goes over your whole face. Have you seen those?
Yeah. Dom had to wear one for his last job.
I was cracking. Oh, I said, you look like a check cashing place. What are you doing? This is so much better.
That is like literally my dream. Like, I want to wear that thing everywhere I go. I don't have one, but I just want that, like a big plastic. Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Place. It goes from your forehead all the way down to like your mid boob. And then you have like glasses that you wear too under it.
Oh, maybe I haven't seen that one. I was just thinking of the general like plastic clear guard that's like hard plastic over, then you put a mask under it. Yeah. Like that to me is the dream. I'm like, well, put me in the bubble.
One on Amazon, honey. That's where she got it. Okay, so yeah, Pyro guy. Sweat. Pyro. Oh, of course she turned on. God, I need to get rid of this little Echo Dot thing in here. Every time I say Amazon, apparently I say it 90 times a day because it just pops right on.
I need
to
get a posture fixed. What? Oh, we didn't have an Amazon Prime Day this year, did we? Because I really need to get some
practices. Because they're not paying their employees or something. Their employees were getting shafted or something, so we didn't get to do it this year.
No, but there wasn't actually an Amazon Prime Day, I don't think, either.
When is it usually?
It's usually in July. The point is this, my posture, I'm turning into Gargamel and I need to fix it because I'm now having like pains in my chest, I think because I'm hunching forward so much so that now when if I back up, I actually feel it. Like my chest is not used to like opening up like that. It's horrific. So,
well, don't worry. Amazon Prime Day should be coming around October 5th. So hopefully we get to do it this year. Did you hear her? She said, sorry, I'm not sure. Shut up. No, I'm talking to you.
You're not part of this conversation, Alexa.
Okay, so Pyro
and that
guy.
Goes both for Alexa and for Kyle's daughter, Alexia.
Oh, what has she done but find $6,000 apartments for people? Give her a break.
Was that Alexia or was that the other one?
I don't know.
I forget.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Janin better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area betches, betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordis, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
So, Rinna, of course, walks in just like Rinna. Oh, how pretty! Oh, this house! PK, this house! Wow!
Look at this!
She is so Lisa Rinna this entire episode.
She really is. Like, she can't even control herself. So, which I like.
So
I like that about Rinna.
PK, tell me about the booze. Tell me about it, PK. Tell me about the booze. And he's like, well, I want you to taste it. This is my non-alcoholic champagne. She goes, oh, yum.
Yeah, yum. Her lip fluttering. Didn't we just see someone do that?
Ramona, yeah. Last New York.
Yeah, Ramona in Mexico.
Yum. Yum, PK.
Yum. Yum. This is delicious. Can't wait to feed this to my dog. And by the way, of course, PK and Dorit turned their housewarming into a marketing event for this new booze. Of course. Let's not overlook that.
Yes, of course. Dorit, you know, she learned well from Vanderpump. Like, every single thing is an event for something yourself. I mean, she's on it. She's got the housewives tropes down. So yeah. Rinna's like, champagne without alcohol is like sex without an orgasm.
What's the point?
Like just sober laughing people at herself.
Across America are just like, fuck her. Fuck her.
Just laughing with an or just laughing at herself in her diary room session, clapping.
And then Teddy walks in, and I was like, okay, I wonder what Teddy's gonna say about this alcohol-free champagne. Can you believe I'm allowed to drink tonight? I didn't expect that. Did not expect that joke.
I'm looking up what l'astuce means.
Well, I think Dorit said it means trick in French, but you know, then again,
that's what I thought. But I didn't know if it meant trip or trick. I couldn't gather what she said. So let's see. L'astuce English translation. This is from Lingui.com. It means tip.
Tip.
Tip. Like this book is full of tips on how to insert just the tip.
Thank you for coming to my party. If you'd like to leave a tip, we'll have a jar by the door.
Wow, that's weird.
Tip. Something does not seem right about that.
Yeah, and she tells Teddy, she's like, I wanted to have it on time for the baby shower. That was my way of... And she gets cut off, but I wanted to hear, like, what is it your way of, like, being kind to Teddy because she can't drink? You started a new business of non-alcoholic... Who even came up with this business of non-alcoholic champagne? Like, who does that? You know what, babe? We should start champagne with no alcohol. There's a business, babe.
Here we go. By the way, I felt like something was not right about that translation of l'astuce. So I looked it up on Reverso, whatever that is. And it does say trick, as in like, you know what the trick of it is? Like this, well, like the trick is to use something, is to use a tire instead of a box, you know? I don't know. And so that's what it means. Hey, it's like the trick.
Or a cheap trick. So Kyle and Faye arrive, still dragging Faye out. And yeah, Maurizio is wasted. You know, he's like high totally as hell. He's like, look at the sleigh, honey. Should I put gifts in there?
Look, look. He's like leaving his card for the sleigh. He's like, the agency.
If you ever want to sell one of these boxes, give me a call. All right.
Look at that. Look, he's hilarious. Look at this guy. He's so funny. I love him. I love him so much.
It's just a prop, honey. How do you know it's just a prop? So Faye is like, Rinna, this hair is everything. We need it. Our husbands could have girlfriends.
Yeah. And Rinna's like, okay, let me tell you about my wigs. Okay. Not trying to be like Erica at all. Okay. Heidi's pretty sexual. She's pretty out there. Roxanne, she's sassy. Sabrina's French. That's a personality. And she works at Starbucks. I mean, I don't even know anymore. Celeste, she's at the DMV. Joanne's human resources for Color Me Mine. She's hilarious.
She's like, he likes Lisa Rinna the best, actually. So Teddy's like, well, hey, you just hear Teddy as an aside go, hey, my daughter told me that my shoulders look fat. That's Teddy's big finale scene.
Yeah.
And then I guess that someone heard that there was a pool and liquid at this party because one of the thirstiest hookers of all time walks in. Marisol Patton.
Adrian Maloof. They're basically like the final scene of Death Becomes Her, the two of them walking up those stairs.
Yes. If you guys miss Marisol from Real Housewives of Miami, just scroll through really anybody with any followers' Instagram page, and you'll see her dragging onto their coattails and trying to get back on TV in any way she possibly can. Congrats, Adrian. You're the one she finally tricked. Yeah.
Poor thing didn't even get a chyron for this scene. She didn't even get it. They didn't even say like Marisol, you know, a friend or anything. Yes. She just was like, if you saw her, you saw her. If not, you're not. She's like basically an Easter egg, like a really shitty Easter egg you found 3 months later that's rotted in the grass.
Yes. You're like, where are these maggots coming from? Oh, darn it. I left the heat.
Marisol Patton. I also, it's something that's very important for me to point out is that when Kyle came into the house, I guess this was her first time being at the house or something, I don't know, but the jealousy in her eyes was so off the charts. It was delicious. She comes in and she's like, oh my God, this house is gorgeous. And Dorit goes in for like a hello kiss and Kyle can't even look at Dorit because the entire time she is like kissing Dorit, but her eyes are like scanning everything. And I took a screenshot. And since this is crap is on demand, I think I can share it. Let's see, share screen. Let's see if I can do this because I think this is a really important. Here it is. Okay. Can you see? Look at that.
Look at Kyle. Mouth open like they kiss like that on the cheeks, but their mouths are wide open. They're like, oh. Yeah.
You see what this is? It's sort of hard because it's all, you know, it's what's it called? It's a freeze frame, but it's Dorit kissing Kyle, and Kyle is just looking so jealously at everything in this house. It is so perfect. It is so Kyle at that moment.
Oh,
trying to
God.
Figure out what she's going to copy, what she's going to one up.
Yeah, she's like, God, she really needs some pink lighting in here. So let's see. Just basically everyone's arriving. Sutton comes in and the champagne guy's standing at the door and he's like, would you like to try this? It's a non-alcoholic champagne. And she goes, oh, I'll be passing that one by. Thank you.
Sutton is wearing, I'm assuming, Dolce & Gabbana because that's her thing. And it's like couture. But it also looks like she has a bunch of like wedding cakes attached to her.
Yeah, she always looks like a cookie with an image on it. You know how the grocery store will be like, bring in any image and we'll print it onto a cake. And they blow it on with that weird icing.
Exactly. That's
basically how Garcelle dresses.
She looks like a cake display. She's like, all right, these are your options for tonight. We have a cake right here on my bosom. We have one on my side by my hip and my other hip and on my back. Which one would you like? And I'll have the waiter bring you over a slice.
Just eat around it for now. Eat around it for now.
Please don't touch.
Kyle's like, hello, you're so Dolce. And they kiss and all that. And Sutton's like, oh, Dorit, did you get my little gift that I sent? She goes, oh, you know what? Something came, but I didn't see what it was. Kim Richards is sleeping on it outside in the sleigh at the moment.
So then 7:40 p.m. and we're outside Denise's hotel in Beverly Hills, and Garcelle is sitting downstairs with Michael in the car, and they're calling Denise to be like, we're here to pick you up. We're supposed to pick you up. You gonna come? Because I'm getting hungry, and all I had was some chicken wings earlier, and I'm starving, and I want to go to this party. Are you coming? No?
Yeah, she just never answers or comes down or anything, which was shitty. And
yeah, I hate that. That actually made me really pissed off at Denise. Like, we've been defending you, Denise, all season long, and then you're going to make Garcelle sit there and like while she's hungry and not answer the phone? Mm-mm, not doing that. I'm not about that.
Well, we find out why she's mad, but yeah, you should at least text Garcelle. Mm-hmm. I'm getting from the end when she explains why she's mad, that she's mad because production knows that she's not going to that fucking party and that they still made Garcelle go there. And she's like, you just fucking tell her I'm not going. Like, what the hell?
Probably.
But still, yeah, you don't do that.
She could have still texted Garcelle saying I'm not coming.
Yeah, so then we have a little scene with Garcelle and Michael like trying to be sexy and romantic, but now we know they broke up, so I don't really care. So then PK and Kyle are talking over back at the party, and PK's like, look, everyone come closer. My wife has something to say. And Kyle's like, that's a shocker.
Did that heap of goodwill donations say something just now?
First of all, I'd like to say thank you. Second of all, I'd like to say, do 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 do, ba dum bum, do 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 do. I've got the fever.
Who is she mad at? Oh yeah, she was mad at Kyle for like addressing her party a few weeks ago. She's like, oh, look at Kyle, look at that, a surprise performance at a party. Wow, I wonder where Kyle figured that one out, guys.
So Dorit basically just says, welcome to our home, and Phoenix comes out, and she's like, why are you being so loud? Who are you? Who let this child into the house again? The one that keeps calling me mama and trying to ask for cookies. Get rid of her and send Jaggy out here.
Does anyone have a leash? A leash? We can just tie her up to the... Can someone get that pyro man? Does he do babysitting also?
What should we call her? A city no one ever wants to go to in July. Phoenix! Sounds good.
So then Dorit is like, well, we thought it'd be a fantastic treat to have a world-renowned illusionist and mentalist, Simon Winthrop. Here he comes. It's like, what? Why is there an illusionist at this Christmas housewarming champagne
And he's
party?
Such a cheese ball, too. He's like, hey. He looks like Rob Schneider. Wait, is that the guy's name? Yeah, he looks like Rob Schneider. He's like, hey. Hey, you lady. Wiggle your fingers for me, honey. And it's Teddy. And she's like, ooh.
Of course, you picked the most boring participant.
Ooh. And he's like, have we met before? And she's like, I don't know. I don't think so. He's like, take off your ring and open your hand. All right. Now, what hand is it in, beautiful? Blow on it. Blow on it.
He's like, oh, man, one of the dangers of being a mentalist is that sometimes you get into the brain of someone who's really boring. Whoa, stay away from this one over here, guys. Stay away. Actually, this scene was very important to me because It gave us another contribution to our growing library of Dorit sounds. And I hope I have my audio set up. Can you hear this one? This is the classic Dorit one. Can you hear this?
Happy birthday to you. Yes. Happy birthday to you.
That's the classic Dorit reacting to the happy birthday song. Then soft clap. All right. Then we have, of course, one of our favorites of all time. This is Dorit walking into a car dealership.
Young ladies!
Still hilarious after all these years. In fact, I think we should listen to it again.
Young ladies!
It's like, have you ever wondered what would happen if someone, like, gashed you with a machete as soon as you walked into a car dealership? That's what it is. We have one that we've actually forgotten about. I had forgotten about this one. This was, I don't even remember the context, but she's talking about Beverly Beach.
Imagine walking up and seeing Beverly Beach.
So fun.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the latest addition to the Dorit canon. This is Dorit reacting to magic.
Gone.
Shut up.
It's basically the magician blowing. Just to give you I'll play it again, but just so you can get your bearings, the magician's gonna, that's him blowing on the fingers, and then the ring is gone. Rena goes, shut up, and Dorit makes her noise.
Gone.
Shut up.
Oh, man. I wish Erica had been here just to give a good one-liner. Like, he blew on your hand to get rid of the ring. I blew to get mine. Yeah, girl. That's right.
You know, Erica's a magic ruiner. You know that she's like the type that says, like, oh, yeah, well, I'll tell you. You know how he did that, right? Like, he just put it up to his sleeve. You weren't looking at that. You know how he did that, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, remember in this scene when he has, like, a cigarette that's, like, floating and, like, it, like, floats up to his mouth and you're like, how the fuck did that happen? I once went to a Christmas party back 2002. It was a Christmas party, and someone hired, like, a magician at a Christmas party. Wow, it's just like Dorit's birthday. And this guy came around, and he took my Texaco card that I had, my Texaco gas card, and he made it float in the air. And I was like, what the fuck? How did that happen? And then the guy at the table, who's also the head of, like, the entire movie, like, the movie company, because I was an assistant to a producer back in the day. He's like, well, I'll tell you how that happened. And I'm not going to say what he said, but he said it, and it's literally ruined that trick for me to this day. And now I cannot watch that with wonder anymore. I'm like, oh, I know what he's doing.
Yeah, that's Erica. She'd be like, you know what? You know what I don't like? Being tricked. I don't like that. Stop it right now. Stop it right now.
It's simple. There's another compartment in the hat that you keep the rabbit in. You just pull it out. I mean, you know what's real talent? Splitting your legs and saying, I don't give a fuck.
So then, let's see. The cigarette flies. Garcelle comes in and they ask immediately. Sutton and Ren are talking.
Cigarette flies in Sissa's mouth.
Yeah, we already talked about, like, the cigarette.
I just think it's a funny, that's like, it's like a plot point that it's like, yeah, let's see, where are we at? There was a cigarette flying and
Garcelle comes in. So then Sutton and Rena start gossiping about Denise, and Sutton's like, is Denise coming? And Rena's like, you know, I texted her and she said she's coming with Garcelle. Oh, so I guess she's not coming. Because she's not with Garcelle. What?
Yeah, because when Garcelle says, well, Denise was a no-show, all the girls are like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
And Garcelle's like, well, maybe she's just like... Garcelle's like, no, she would have taken my text or returned my call or something. And Brenda's like, you know, this is really strange because I've been reaching out to Denise saying, you need to come tonight and we need to work through some stuff. And so Dorit goes, I'm going to check my phone. And Brenda goes, I'm going to check my phone too. And they both run off to see like who Denise has contacted first.
Exactly. Also, Dorit took a moment to shame Garcelle for missing the match. She kept on saying this to Garcelle for like the entire night.
Oh, Garcelle, baby. Oh, you missed the magic. It was wonderful. The man blew on Teddy's fingers. And I went and I screamed and I said.
You think that was magic? You should see what Amy Barrett can do with a good script. That's magic.
Oh, I think I got her box set from the Hallmark Channel website.
Okay, so they go look at their phones, and Brenda's like,
my heart
see,
is racing.
See here, this text, it's from this morning. She said, are you going to get really dressed up tonight? And I said, I have two dresses. There, that's
and then
my
I
text.
Sent her a gif of Garfield getting dressed in front of Dave.
And so Dorit's like, oh, I'm so scared now. My heart is racing. What could be happening with poor Denise?
First, there's magic in the air. Then an oversized fake champagne bottle in the pool. And now Denise. Ooh, my heart is racing right now.
So Rena tells her the phone's off. So that, you know, because it's going straight to voicemail. So either the phone's off or she's being blocked. And Dorit's like, why would she block me? So now she's got Dorit all pissed off that she's been blocked.
And they're trying to call Aaron and no answer from him. And Garcelle's like, well, she stood me up. And Rinna, ready to pounce, goes, and how do you feel about that?
Wow. I mean, she loves you. Why would you stand someone up? She loves you. How do you feel about that, Garcelle?
How do you feel about that ultimate betrayal, Garcelle? Tell us. And Garcelle says, well, she thought Brandy was going to be here. Is she going to be here? And everyone's like, what? What? No, Brandy, what?
And you see Kyle. Kyle gives the biggest gulp on camera we've ever seen. She's like, gloop. She goes, no, I mean, I didn't invite her. And then she goes, let's go get a bite to eat. I was like, oh, okay. So change the subject.
Yeah.
Do a gulp and then a change of the subject. She's like, I didn't invite her, which is not the same as saying Brandy's not going to be here.
Yeah. And then Kyle goes, I mean, come on, guys. There's lasagna, okay? What's wrong with you? And Brandy goes, oh, there's lasagna.
And then she just stares at it.
She just stares at it. I know. Like, they bring in Denise's biggest enemy and Rinna's biggest enemy.
What's next? Is someone going to bring out a giant wheel of Parmesan with pasta in the middle of it for Kyle? Remember that scene where Kyle's like, the Parmesan. I must resist. I've actually never empathized with Kyle as much or sympathized in that scene with the Parmesan wheel.
With the wheel of Parmesan. So Garcelle's like, well, we either have to go to In-N-Out or get a burger someplace to eat. I mean, this is not okay.
She's behind a heater, so she's like all dramatic. There's like, grates, and she's like a film noir. She's like, we have to go to In-N-Out.
I know, and I don't know if she just doesn't like lasagna or what. That was like a loose thread for me that I didn't understand. So Dorit's like, well, find my husband, Michael. He's dying to talk to you. Now get out of the bushes, Garcelle, and come over here.
So, yeah. So then Garcelle comes over, and she's like, oh, who is that waiter? I recognize that waiter. Now, let me tell you something about this waiter, guys. He goes to my gym, and whoa. Whoa. And in fact, Ronnie, you once saw him because do you remember there was one time we went to the bagel broker and walking on the bagel broker, we're like, who is that guy? That was this waiter. And I know that because that I recognize that guy from the gym. And then here he is.
Well, there you go.
So look,
she's like fawning over
I just
him.
Want to confirm. I feel like sometimes it's important to confirm things in real life. Like if you saw Garcelle looking at that waiter, because the waiter then gave this really goofy smile and you thought, what's the deal with that waiter? I am here to tell you, everyone. That waiter, whoa.
Whoa. Danny's seen him.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Okay. Whoa. Whoa. Drink a water.
So they all start talking, and we find out that waiter was stolen by Dorit from Kyle's house. So, you see, it's like, you steal my speech, given I'm stealing your waiter, Kyle. Dorit's like, well, you'll never believe who I got a phone call from. The Brit Kavanaugh-loving Camille. And they're like, oh, geez. And they all start laughing and cackling. And she's like, I have no desire to have a relationship with Camille. Which, of course, Camille is calling right before the finale party to see if she can snag an invite.
Yeah. And then Kyle says,
gotta respect the thirst.
You gotta, you know, but I respect that thirst from Camille because that is Camille. And so I'm like, you go for it, Camille. Yes, get into that party. That's what you like. I feel like it matches because I don't think that she's anything but that, right?
Yeah.
So. Then Kyle says something, which I thought was such a strange thing to say. She goes, oh, yeah, someone saw Denise and Camille walking together.
Yeah, just someone randomly in Malibu.
Quarterly? Like, yeah. Where did you read about this?
Where no one walks ever, people saw Camille. And it's just so full. Production is so fucking messy.
I know. Like, production is, I mean, we see it later how production fucks with them, right? Yeah. So then we have flashback the night before. Denise is over at... with Camille, and she's like, well, no matter what you say, they never believe you. Am I right? I mean, like, how many times do I have to tell them Big Pharma's outside, okay? Camille, never believe me.
Camille's like, now you get it, right? Now you get the struggle that I went through last year. Now you get what Advil does to a person. And she's like, yeah, I got it now, you know? And there's a party at Dorit's house tomorrow, so I'm gonna have to see him then.
Hey, wasn't Camille just, what's this dust cloud where Camille used to be? Hey, Camille, who are you on the phone with right now? After I told you about the party. Anyway, welcome. I just have to say, Denise, welcome. You are now part of a special elite group, an unfortunate elite group of people who are not believed. You, me, and Justice Kavanaugh.
The ultimate victims in life. In order. Me, Justice Kavanaugh, you. So Camille's like, do you want some holy water? I've got some holy water. And she's like, you know, I brought some back from the fucking Vatican.
Oh, how was that? I wasn't actually invited.
Why you I've asked the Pope to forgive me and he won't do it. And that's what popes do, actually. That was sad. Sad.
Yeah. I went, I saw the Pope and he was all like, I'm gonna blah 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 blah
blah. Oh, really? In the blood of Jesus Christ. In the body of Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's devastating.
Just Camille, just hemming along. So then Rinna, we come back, and Rinna's like, why would Denise reach out to Camille? Because Camille will jump on anyone's bandwagon. I mean, you can manipulate Camille Grammer with a blindfold and a ball in your mouth. I'm like, should we just show the montage, Rinna, of you every season saying, I was manipulated.
In the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. I can't believe it. She's been manipulating me this entire time.
And Rinna back at the table is like, I just want to know the truth. I care about truth. Like, she's Justice Ginsburg over there. And then while we're on justices, it's like, that is it. So Garcelle is like, wait a minute, is that Brandy? And it's just so brand. It's just so sad. It's like Brandy back there like, hi, girls. Hi, girls, it's me.
Just showing up unexpectedly. Kyle, you look great. That outfit that we talked about looks great on you. Oh, I mean, I didn't know I'd be seeing you here because you didn't know you'd be seeing me here. Hi.
And Dorit goes, Kyle! She's like, don't blame me. I didn't do this, which is such a lie. Oh, my. And fuck you guys for trying this. And good for Denise, okay? Denise can lie all she fucking wants to. You're trying to out her on national television and then have this big scene. Denise, you're going to have to out me without me, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So then Dorit walks up, and Dorit is like doing that like super polite passive aggressive thing where she's like, I'm so surprised. I didn't know that you'd be Kim's plus one. I'm so surprised. Where like outwardly facing, it seems like, what a lovely surprise that you're the plus one. But it's really saying like, fuck you, you're not supposed to be the plus one.
Oh no, she totally gave her that Dorit tone, where she's like, I didn't know you were gonna be the plus one.
Oh, you think Dorit knew? You think Dorit was in on it?
No, I think that she was annoyed that Brandy was showing up as a plus one.
Yeah,
like, no, you weren't invited to my house, bitch.
She was clearly annoyed, but I'm just saying that, like, if someone were to call her on it, she'd be like, no, I just said I was surprised. Oh, you know, it's that classic.
The classic. So Kyle's like, come on, guys, she's not going to do anything. And she goes, let's just go over there. So she runs over there, and Brandy is talking to Maury, and she's like, oh, look, there's a lot of guys here. So many guys. And he's like, they're all married.
And then Kim.
Who brings Brandy? I love that everybody's just like, you can't touch them. They're all married, Brandy.
And then Kim is showing off her, like, now her boobs, because she got her implants taken out. So she's sort of showing them off, and she's like, hey, look at my boobs. Yeah, you want to touch it, Maurice? You want to touch them? You want to touch them? You ever felt that? You ever wondered what a pancake felt like with stuff with apple mush? Yeah, touch right here, huh?
Come on, Maurice. And he's like, really? Can I touch them? Because, like, he's like, really? And then we go over to
that jester, huh?
Sutton comes up to Brandy, and she's like, hello, Brandy. Is Denise here? No. And Brandy just looks crestfallen. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, she looks like she just was out in the hallway in high school and saw that she did not make the school play. It's like, oh, sorry, sucker.
So she, Sutton is like, wow, that made me feel bad for her, actually. As someone who was often cast as the one-line person who offered pencils. I was,
well,
like,
hey, you were still on the list. You were still on the list.
That's true. Well, no one was not on the list at my school. We all had pity rolls.
Oh, I didn't grow up like that, girl. I grew up in Texas. Not everybody gets a fucking medal.
We got pity rolls, which means you say a line like, great weather here. So Sutton is like, well, Brandy, you need to work this out, because honestly, it's too much. It's too much, which I love. Just like, it's too much. Yeah. Just like this exhausted, like, I don't even know what it's about. I don't really care. I just know that people are talking about it too much. No.
And this is so Housewives too. And it also explains where Sutton got her gossip about all of this. She goes,
yeah,
well, I've known Brandy. We go to the same skincare specialist. I see her socially every once in a while. And don't worry, no one's going to claim to have slept with me. I mean, obviously. Look at me. And I was like,
no one wants to. No one wants to see me change in front of them. No one wants to sleep with me. Somebody sleep with Aunt Sutton.
God, so, Sutton, jeez. We love you. Lighten up over there. Stop hating yourself so much. It's what podcasts are for.
I love all these tenuous connections to Brandy, because you have Sutton, who knows Brandy because they've been going to the same skincare specialist for 2 years. And then you have Denise and Brandy, whose friendship was forged because they have the same brand manager.
So she's like, you know, Brandy, maybe one day you can learn not to say stuff. And Brandy goes, oh, honey, not happening. Not happening.
Be careful, Sutton, because you're next. You're next. So now Rinna is still riding this wave of, like, I'm friends with Kim Richards, and our daughters are potentially related soon.
Wienerhausen!
Like, hi, sister-in-law! What do we call ourselves? Sisters-in-law? Druggies-in-law? I don't know. What do we call ourselves?
What, are we going to be the Wienerhausens? The Wienerhausen sisters? Hey, Kyle, now I have a drug addict sister, too. I didn't say that. I don't remember saying that. I did not say that.
Hey, Kyle, so when our sister OD's at Target again, who wants to pick her up?
Just kidding.
We're all family. It's all good. We're all family. We can joke about it because we're related.
So Dorit's like, Brandy, it's a shock that Denise didn't come to that. And Brandy goes, oh, well, I sent her a text. Oh, the Great Housewives
sound
effect.
Well, there it is.
And she said, I'm going to see you tonight, and I assumed she'd be here, so I sent her a text to give her a heads up. I mean, I just want to talk without everybody involved, because it's just nobody else's business.
Andy,
my God.
I'm going to throw you into the pool next to that giant champagne float.
Oh, it's just, if I had
don't you
any
dare
hair
come
left.
On here and say it's no one's business after we've just endured the past 4 weeks because of you babbling on TV.
You've been
about
on a warpath trying to out somebody on national television. You're disgusting, ma'am.
And then we cut to PK, who's just like sitting with Mauricio, and he's like, you know, it's a very cozy room, you know? I mean, I've had a lot of great property in my life. And Mauricio's like,
He just laughs at him.
I own the agency, so don't try to talk to me about the property, okay?
Yeah, yeah, I haven't seen a great property in a while, selling $80 million mansions, PK.
Yeah, seriously.
Your farmhouse in the valley. Whoa, that's really blown me over. I just love PK. I've had lots of incredible properties in my life, eh? And Mauricio laughs in his face. Okay, so then the ladies are all sitting down together, and Carl's like, well, has anybody texted her? And Brandy's like, well, I said, yeah, I texted her. I said, first you turn me into a cheater, and then you make me into a liar? What the fuck are you doing? Oh, yes. The great trick of 2019. Forcing Brandy into becoming a cheater and having the entire town turn against her.
Oh, the rudeness of it all. She has a reputation to maintain. She has a reputation, okay?
Yeah.
So basically, Brandy confirms that she had sex with Denise. I shouldn't say confirms, but she confirms her side of her story. And then and Garcelle basically, I didn't write it down, but she's basically like, you know what? I'm not going to look at the text because Denise is my friend, and I would rather just like sit with Denise and like spill the tea with her, hear what she has to say, and watch her sit back and laugh, and we'll just both like kind of like live in her truth, right?
Yeah. And then they do a photo of like they were at the Trevi Fountain, and they throw ice behind their heads.
This was ridiculous. Like, guys, there's a tradition at the Fountain of Trevi that we're just at, where you take a penny and you throw it over your shoulder into the Fountain of Trevi, which is a landmark. But this time, instead, we're just going to take an ice cube and throw it into my pool. Like, this is not the same.
Yeah, not the same.
Doesn't quite have the same feeling, but it was also fun watching you guys throw ice cubes.
Just since we're over an hour anyway, just to have some more useless shit in here. Last week you said, what is the Lemon Restaurant? That's an actual restaurant? And I said, No, I think it's just like the design. It is an actual restaurant in Capri, A very famous restaurant called the Lemon Restaurant.
Yeah, apparently someone wrote to us and said that like every tourist in Capri goes there, and it has like a real life lemon grove, and it's really pretty and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then there's also the Capri room at Buca di Beppo of Encino. So a lot of options.
Yeah. Basically twins. So 15 minutes later, Garcelle's getting into her car and a producer's standing there, but we don't see his face.
He's such a fucker, this producer.
He's such a fuck. They are such fuckers. And so she's like, well, what happened? And he goes, oh, she didn't text you? She's like, no. And for her to not let me know, it was a little shitty. And he goes, well, we got a text from Aaron saying there's a family emergency and Denise isn't coming.
Yeah. And he goes, and you're the one who's defending her. I mean, and now she bails on you. Wow.
Yeah. And she goes, that's ridiculous. And he goes, yes, that's ridiculous. Like trying to get her all riled up.
It's so funny. It's so transparent. It's so odd that they included that scene. But
it's so desperate. And well, they had nothing. I mean, this was the season finale party. So Denise took all the air out of their sails. They had nothing for this season. So now what do they have to do? They have to keep trying to shoot, but they can't because it's the holidays. So they try after the holidays.
Yeah. Well,
Denise
they try
still
Monday.
Won't give them.
Don't forget, Monday. So Rinna and Garcelle are back at the Grey Tavern, which they were, I think Garcelle was there with Sutton a few weeks ago, in case anyone wanted to keep tabs on what's going on at the Grey Tavern. Am I right, people? So Rinna walks in, and she's, of course, full of all her, like, excited, like, observations. This is a nice surprise. There's a table, chairs.
Whoa. What a nice table! How are you, table? How are you?
Cocktail menu, happy hour. So Garcelle orders her favorite drink, which is called the Emotionally Unavailable, and Rena's like, How are you, cocktail name? I thought you made that up.
And I love that Rinna has just started hanging. It seems like she just got her glam team, I guess, when Erica did, you know, like to compete. And now she's using all of the gay slang that she can get. You know, it's so funny to me. She's like, we're going to have a Christmas drink. I mean, a Christmas drink.
I'm going to put a wig on this drink. I'm going to call it the Sheila. She works. She's that lady that you have to pay when you take your car in for servicing and she gives you your keys back. That's Sheila.
You know, reading over the season, people get so mad. And by people, I mean me. At these housewives or whoever, the Shaws or whoever we're talking about. But, you know, guys, you do need to take this shit less seriously and realize that these are just a bunch of clowns on TV paid to entertain us plebs, okay? But also, yes. If you really are having trouble with that this season, and you're having trouble reminding yourself what a clown Lisa Rinna is, please go to her Instagram and watch her doing that WAPS dance. Because that has got to be the funniest shit.
I can't. WAP is actually passed. I have to finally like sit and like educate myself on WAP because it's passing me by. I like don't listen to music anymore because I'm stuck in my apartment playing Animal Crossing. I'm not really fully up to date on WAP and all my WAP references. I mean, I know what WAP is. I know what the song is. But I even with that, I know I can't. I just don't know
if it I can watch this. It is hilarious, Ben. It's so awkward and funny. She's in a bra and panties just, like, throwing herself down. Oh, my God. It is hilarious. It's like if windshield wipers just went crazy on a car and, like, had no access. And they were just, like, flapping around, beating the window.
Now, is that WAP? Is that, like, wet ass PK? So the waiter comes over, and by the way, this Rinna orders in such a Rinna way. She's like, why don't I do a Belvedere martini? Why don't I do that? She acts as if like, like she's answering on Pyramid or something like that. Like, just order your martini, Rinna.
Yeah, so they basically, Dorit comes, and they make small talk. It's Christmas time and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Of course, Dorit comes and fucking some branded, you know, like some name scrawled all over Versace, I think, all over her. And
Versace.
They start talking about the party and Denise. And Garcelle's like, well, Dorit brings up again, oh, you didn't see me call out the strange little girl who keeps showing up at my house calling me mama? And you missed the magician? And Garcelle's like, well, I was waiting for Denise Richards.
Mm-hmm. And so Dorit is mad that Denise didn't even show up and didn't even send a text. And then she got a message on Sunday, finally saying like, you know, she just got a text message on Sunday. And Rinna's like, oh, so you got a message from her. So you got a message from her. How are you? Message that I never received.
It said, sorry, I missed last night. Talk soon. Well, that's not enough, Denise. We're friends. I keep saying it over and over until it's true. We're friends.
And Garcelle's like, well, she reached out to me Sunday. She's like, oh, whoa, she reached out to you on Sunday. Whoa.
Wow. And basically Denise told Garcelle, I didn't want you to have to lie for me, which is why I didn't call you. Which that's kind of bullshit. I'm sorry, that's bullshit. That's like one of those things where you're actually trying to spin your bad behavior into friendship points. It's like, Denise, you could have texted Garcelle and said, hey, I can't make it tonight. I'll tell you why later. You know, like that's all you have to do. You know?
Well, I mean, look, just because I've been on Denise's side this whole time, and now I'm going to fight for her really for no reason when she's clearly wrong. Like, I admit that. But I think she probably she finds out production is going to have a Brandy thing, and then she probably thinks everybody's in on it. And it's like, fuck these ladies. Like, I want no part of this cast or these people. Who would try to do this to me? No, fuck them. I'm not. But still, fine, like, but even bullshit. If Garcelle's just playing the role of her friend, then she still should have at least texted her and been like, don't, you know.
Like, if you feel that way, if you're like, fuck this production, they're trying to get me, then that's fine. But then don't send a text the next day to Garcelle. For sure, don't do that. But don't send a text the next day saying, like, I didn't want you to have to lie on my behalf. Because that's like bullshit. Like, Garcelle can handle it. It's like you're doing Garcelle a favor. Just don't, you don't just say you're not going to make it. Just don't waste Garcelle's time. That's all you have to do. You don't have to. You can just say, I'll explain later. Go have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you all tomorrow. Like, that's all you have to do. And so then the fact that she didn't do that, and then she wasted Garcelle's time, and then she's trying to spin it into like, I was just trying to protect you, as if she's being the good person here. That rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
So, I get very caught up on text etiquette and time etiquette.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So Dorit's like, Verda not show me. I mean, my mind went to the worst. What if Big Farmer Carter? You never know what could happen. And then to get it's so ridiculous.
I woke up this morning and someone had left a Tylenol bottle in the kitchen. And I thought, is that a message from Big Farmer? Have they finally gotten Denise?
And Dorit's like, well, she told the producer she had a family emergency. And then she told you she didn't want to lie. Now, listen, I don't add very well. Access the tasks, man. Don't add very well. But still, something's amiss.
And did you notice that, like, while Dorit was talking, Garcelle was totally, like, back into that mac and cheese, like she was the last time she was at this restaurant. She's like, and she's like, keeping.
Yes, because she's like the only person to eat it. She got mac and cheese and a huge fucking bone marrow, like a split bone with like a bowl of bone marrow. You go.
So, Denise was actually supposed to hang out with Garcelle earlier that day, and 5 hours later, she bailed on Garcelle, and she's like, hey, honey, I'm not going to be able to make a Calabasas. I got a lot of stuff to do. You know, Hallmark's doing their greatest hits, and I'm doing something with Amy Barrett. So anyway, have a great time in Calabasas. Hope you didn't drive there. If you did, I was just trying to protect you from having to drive back. So bye.
Yeah, it's really long, this text. It's like when your friends text you with a voice text thing, and you're like, oh, Jesus, it's like 3 pages long. Like, glad that made it your life more convenient, but I have to spend an hour reading it, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I already drove out to Calabasas. She's like, oh, that's fine, Denise, but I already drove out here, you know? Like, it's like, fuck you. So I'm starting to get mad at Denise because, like, I'm on her side, but she's not being cool right now.
So then Garcelle's pissed off, and she's like, I've proven to her that I'm her friend, so I just don't get it. And Rinna's like, well, I just don't understand why she wouldn't reach out to me.
I wonder why, Rinna.
Yeah, I wonder why. So confusing. So then we see the clip of Garcelle telling Denise in her house, you know, there's a difference between the Rinna I knew then and the Rinna I knew now. This Rinna's just hard.
Yeah. So Garcelle tells Rinna, well, I think she feels that you're the bad guy in this movie.
I got cast in a movie. That's where you hustle, baby. That's where you hustle. I'm the bad guy in this movie. Working actress. Working actress.
And Dorit says, well, that's just deflecting, isn't it? Do you think she's going to be doing press for movies or whatever? And she'll try to control the narrative. They don't do press for Hallmark movies, okay? They don't do press for for Bold and the Beautiful either.
Some lovely 23-year-old girl on Hallmark's PR staff is now bawling. I'm a failure.
So then Rinna gives her speech that Denise has been controlling the narrative her whole life. You have to remember, Denise didn't show up Saturday night. And the first picture is a picture Aaron posted. Aaron posted of her in a hospital bed with hernias.
Listen, I've been Team Denise, but this is... Rinna's not necessarily wrong here. I'm not going to say that Rinna is wrong here. I'm sorry. She's not wrong here. And we've sort of been saying it. You know, Denise has been conditioned to dealing with Charlie Sheen and the paparazzi. And I think that she, like, goes to protective mode. And I think that is what is happening here. And I think that that protective mode does not work if you're on reality TV, obviously. But, and I do think that posting this, like, this post her with her hernia recovery right after this party is a little weird. I'm just gonna say
it.
I don't
is,
know like,
but
why would
you know what I think that you're being conditioned because they've done this shit for so many weeks now in a row that it's like, well, yeah, she should have to address it on TV. No, she shouldn't. I don't think she should. I mean, they're bringing in fucking Brandy Glanville, who is spewing all this stuff and trying to out this woman on national TV, and I don't think she has to address that. She never agreed to be on the show with fucking Brandy Glanville doing all this shit to her. And so she is finding out that they're tricking her, and she's not going to be a part of it. I don't blame her, really.
I'm not saying that she has to address anything she doesn't want to on TV. But I'm saying that I think that Rinna is onto something, which is that Denise knows how to this is how she operates. I think that Rinna is correct when she says, you know, Denise has had to learn to shut shit down because she's had this in her life for the past, you know, nearly 20 years. And so this is basically what happens. And so that's why I'm not saying whether she should disclose it or not is one thing. But like, if you are going to be on reality TV, you can't be just like sending cease and desist. Like, you just sort of have to go on camera and say, I don't want to talk about it. Cause that's
because I don't think that she has to go on camera and say, do anything. Cause Brandy's there, you know, she knows what it's going to turn into. And when she says later, the Jerry Springer moment, I think that's exactly true. And she's not going to give it to him. So I don't
know, because part of me also feels like there's an Aaron factor at play too, you know, and I think that's something we haven't really discussed, which is that on other shows, and of course we are both members of the Hippocrat Party, but on other shows we have gotten mad at husbands and boyfriends who we felt have pulled away like our stars because they said, you shouldn't be talking about this, don't be like that. And we're like, let your wife earn her paycheck, right? This is her job and she needs to do it. And I do actually feel like there's an element of Aaron just kind of controlling Denise. I think we started to really see it at that one party where he grabbed her hand and everything. And I think he is controlling. And part of me feels like Aaron deserves a little bit of blame for the situation too. And I think that he's I think that Denise, like they said, Denise is not she's not a shrinking violet. She knows how to confront. She's not afraid of confrontation. But I think that she's also prone, it seems like, to Aaron, prone to needing Aaron's approval. And I don't think Aaron is all there with his perceptions of reality, to be honest.
Well, the guy can't do anything. He can't stand up for himself. If he's there, then he can't, you know, it's like, so he's not going to go. But then, you know, as far as her, whatever, I've already said, I'm sick of talking about it. Just because we're about to talk about it in the next scene.
I was about to say, because there's more to talk about.
Yeah, just for right now. So Rinna's like, well, listen, she was married to Charlie Sheen, blah, blah, blah. She fought the press 14 years with 14 different lawyers, and she knows how to pronounce. And trust me, we're all going to be the bad guys, just so you know. We're all going to be the mean girls. We will. We all will. You are the bad guys. You are the mean girls. What are you talking about?
Yeah, everything I said does not take away from the fact that you guys are the bad guys in this situation, because you guys could have been much, much better friends to her.
You guys suck. You know? You guys totally brought this up and totally tried to get all this shit on TV. You suck. You are the... It's not manipulation.
Kyle Richards.
You know, that makes me fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So then we see the screen goes to black and it's like, in the following days, Denise sent a cease and desist letter to cast and producers. January 8th.
The cease and desist letter is probably like, hi, I'm out of town for the holidays. I'll be back afterwards.
Right, you better shut the fuck up or I'm going to sue you, stupid fuckers, all right? So, Kyle, we see a Daily Mail headline, which, God, the Daily Mail is just in everybody's shit on these shows. It says, Denise Richards stops filming Real Housewives of Beverly Hills after her passionate months-long affair with Brandy Glanville was exposed by castmates on a trip to Rome.
Now, Ronnie, did I miss a scene? Did I miss a scene where Kyle and Dorit and all the ladies got super mad about the fact that someone leaked all this stuff to the press? Did I miss that?
Because specifically to the Daily Mail, as I recall.
Because I seem to remember, I mean, I know that they have a big issue with that, that like when someone leaks information to the press, that really, really bothers them. And I'm wondering, did they say anything about that?
Yeah,
about
you know, and there was a big rat last year.
Yeah.
A huge rat. Someone on the inside is talking to the Daily Mail, and it was Lisa Vanderpump, and now Lisa Vanderpump is gone. So is Lisa Vanderpump still the rat in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Because the rat's still there.
Lisa came back for a scene, and then leaked all this to Daily Mail and Radar Online. And okay, so thank God Lisa's off the show because, man.
I don't know. But the only person we've seen with a rat in their house that is a rat manager is Lisa Rinna. So there. I've said it. Okay?
Well, I've said it. But I have to say, I mean, like, we see Kyle. So this headline is broken, and Kyle's on the phone with Rinna being like, she's like, wow. And she goes, Well, I mean, if you get entangled with Brandy, you know that's not going to be kept quiet. Wow, so you seem to have a pretty laissez-faire attitude towards stuff getting out to the press now, Kyle Richards. Isn't that convenient? Isn't that yeah. so convenient?
Yeah, totally. And also, like, you were the one who brought it out, Kyle.
And there's that, too.
So Rinna's like, well, I just don't think Aaron knows. And if you ask me, we'll never see Denise Richards again. And Kyle's like, well, she's scared to show who she really is. So let's out her. Let's just out her. It's like, you fucking horrible monsters.
So 2 weeks later, now Denise is in a car and she's on the phone with Aaron. And she's like, hey, if it's okay, I want to meet with Rinna. And he's like, okay. And then we see that 4 hours earlier, Denise, by the way, and again, that's where I get annoyed, where she says, if it's okay, I'm going to meet with Rinna. You can just go meet with her. You don't have to get his approval.
I think she's saying because she's on her way home, like for dinner or whatever. So she's going to be late because she's going to go meet. That's how I took it anyway.
I don't know. I think, I mean, that's actually a fair thing, but I also still think... I don't know.
I was like, honey, I'm on the way home, but I'm going to go stop and talk to Lisa Rinna.
I'm not giving him a good edit here. So 4 hours earlier, Denise called Rinna.
And Rinna's like, Denise. And she's like, Lisa, I wanted to talk to you. Do you mind if I come over? And she's like, well, come here with an open mind and an open heart, and I'll be happy to talk to you. Okay, Denise Richards.
Clear eyes, open hearts. Can't lose.
Denise is like, well, I'm not coming here for fucking therapy. I'm coming over as your friend. She's like, you know what? You can't come over here and beat me over the head because I've somehow been a bad friend to you. It can't be that. Oh, so not open. You're not going to be open?
What happened to open heart? I guess that's... I've never beaten you over the head, okay? If you felt something, that was clearly Big Pharma, because it was not me.
Well, that's how I feel, and that's how I feel, then that's how I feel, Denise! So she's like, all right, great. And then she looks at her phone. She, like, looks down at her phone, but she looks like a Disney villain, like, So, knock, knock, here she is. And Rinna is in some terrible jeans. I mean, not, you know, when the cameras aren't rolling on a regular season, wow.
So Rinna gives her biggest, fakest hello. Hi, Denise! She does that thing where she slaps the sides of her legs and shrugs over like, hi, let's have a long hug.
Longest hug ever, Denise! I miss you, Denise.
I chopped all my pillows tonight for you, Denise. Come on, any one glass of water? Let's go sit by these chopped pillow teeth. Okay, give it an extra chop. There we go.
So how do we move past this, Denise? And Denise is like, all right, well, did you know that Brandy was going to be there at that party? She's like, no, I did not know. Bullshit, calling bullshit. She's like, you didn't? She's like, no, I had no idea who was going to be there. Did you know Brandy was going to be there? She's like, yes, that's why I didn't show up.
She's like, I didn't want to create a Jerry Springer moment. And Summer's like, so there was no family emergency? And she's like, no, there was not. She's like, oh, okay, because we were all worried. And you have to know that we were all worried. I'm like, okay, Rinna, okay. I think it was bullshit that Denise did not write back to Garcelle. I think it was bullshit that she just stonewalled everyone. But let's not turn this into, like, we were all so worried and we got the pyro guy over to give us all candles so we could have a vigil, okay? Like, let's not turn this into, like, you lied to us, you lied. Because that's what they keep on doing. When they can't quite get her, they turn to, but the lies you said. It's like, it was a white lie.
But you lied. Well, she just owned it. Isn't that what you want people to do? She's answering you like you want.
She literally owned it.
But
owned it.
She can't even do that. You lied. So she's like, what is going on here? It's not my business. Oh, really? It's none of your business? And yet you're screaming at her for a season that she has to bring this up as you bring it up on camera over and over again. Come on.
She's like, you never responded to me. She's like, oh, I responded to Dorit and Garcelle. She's like, I said me, the bad guy in this movie that I've been cast in, coming soon to a theater near you or video on demand.
I didn't get a text. She's like, I have a screenshot of the text. Like, okay, Denise, you got the text. I mean, that's why it is hard with Denise, because she just keeps doing Denise, shit like that.
Denise does mess up and it drives me nuts. I'm like, you have such a clear case, Denise. Why are you ruining it? You know what the reality is? And she goes, the reality is you said family emergency. That's a lie. It's a lie.
You lied. So she's like, what's going on here is not my business. And Denise says, there is nothing going on. Why don't you believe me, Lisa? She goes, you know what? I just don't know exactly what I believe with you. Denise! She's like, well, look, I don't care what text. And Renna goes, I witnessed something that really confused me. You have a really long relationship with Brandy, platonically or whatever, but you have a very long text message thread with her, Denise.
I've never seen so many texts. It was so confusing. Emojis. Have you ever heard of emojis? They're crazy.
And Denise is like, I don't care what text she has. Oh, she has a year's worth of text messages. Now, this is all your business, and I did not go through all of the texts because it's your business. my interaction was limited. She's like, it's a friendship. It is a friend. So what if Brandy's texting her for a year and she's texting back?
That's the thing. It's like she's being prosecuted about, like, whether she lied about her relationship with Brandy in terms of did they know each other? Did they know each other well? And I guess they would say, oh, it's about her credibility in denying these accusations. But who cares? Because at the end of the day, what this all boils down to is that she allegedly talked some shit to Brandy. And on top of that, Brandy also says, oh, and by the way, we hooked up. But what they are all what they're all supposedly mad at is that Denise talked some shit to Brandy and Brandy denied it. And now they're saying, no, your credibility isn't good because you are denying it. But look, we found that you've lied here and here, which means that you must have talked shit about us. So I'm like, okay, yeah. So you guys are throwing out friendships because Denise got mad one day. And in the worst scenario, Denise got mad one day and talked a little bit of shit and said that Teddy lives in her dad's shadow.
After you were all assholes to her. It's not like on some random day either. Denise is like, well, I've seen her 4 times in my life. She's like, oh, please. Well, she was an acquaintance, Lisa. That was it. She's like, I do not buy that.
Okay. Let's not also forget, by the way, that Denise says, let's not also forget there are apps out there that can make up all sorts of text messages and stuff like that. So there's apps. So I was like,
I'm not going to believe anything, all right? Because she still doesn't know. Because she still doesn't know what Brandy has, you know? Like, she doesn't know what Brandy's lied about or whatever. And if Brandy did have those texts, they would have been made up, you know? Or she would have shown them, which she didn't. So she doesn't have any texts that are like, oh, we banged last night or whatever. So Denise is like, well, if you've got these and they're obviously fake.
Sorry, I was just talking. I just talked blatantly right over you. I apologize.
It's okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, as we discussed last week, just because you have lots of texts with someone actually doesn't really reflect anything. It reflects, yes, some level of a friendship, but you can also have texts with people and still not really know them very well or hang out with them.
Yeah. So then Ren is like, you know what? Why wouldn't you just pick up the phone and say, what the fuck are you doing, Brandy? And Denise is like, well, why would I engage in that? And she goes, oh, you know what? Do you just not engage? Is that how it goes away? She's like, well, there's other ways. And I used another way, too, but I can't even say what I did for that. She goes, oh, you sent a deceased and desist letter.
Yeah. She's like, you wanted the footage taken out. And so Denise goes, who told you that? Who told you that?
Ooh, you are so angry. She's like, you're playing dirty. She goes, how am I playing dirty? That is dirty. And the reason she's mad is because the producers are out of control manipulating this shit. Producers aren't supposed to be this bad about that, you know? Yeah. Like, I get that they're supposed to be sneaking around and manipulating them into doing certain things. But to be calling, being like, oh, well, Denise just, you know, tried to get us to pull all this footage and then send them on camera to fight with them about behind the camera stuff.
Well, if you mess with the producers, they're always gonna get the last word. They really will. You can't, like, you just have to be smarter than that. I'm sorry. Like, the producers, as my dad always says, never start a fight with a man who buys ink by the barrel, which is such a dad saying. But basically saying that if someone's controlling the story, if someone literally is the one who gets to write the story, you don't mess with them. But that being said, regardless of what's going on in the storyline on whose side you're on, I have to say, when Rinna said, ooh, you're so angry, Denise, you're so angry, it was like so villainous and patronizing and like so soapy and melodramatic. I was like, I don't care what side or what's going on. This is an amazing moment. This is what we tune in for, as a passive aggressive moment like this.
And she's like, well, this is slander. And if something slanderous about you was said, wouldn't you send a cease and desist? And she goes, no, because you know what? I show up and I deal with the people that I have to deal with. Oh, really? What about the husband, Rena? What about the husband? What about all that shit you said about Kim being on her deathbed? What about that? I never said that. And if I did, I don't remember. You don't deal with shit. What are you talking about?
So Rena's like, people care about honesty, okay? They know who's being honest. They know. They know when you've been naughty and when you've been honest, okay? And Denise is like, listen, I explained to my kids that there's been stuff that's been said about your mom that's not true. And all you have to do is hold your head up high and move past it. So, I mean, in a way, it was a lesson. It was a lesson for me to talk to the kids about that. And tomorrow I'm going to tell them about Bayer and how Bayer stalks us.
Well,
you know,
good.
Big pharma.
So something positive came out of it. A conversation with children. Good, Denise. Good. She's like, well, it's not something you'll want to have a conversation about. She's like, but it's good because they have to know. They have to know.
Have you told them about threesomes yet? Because I can do that for you.
You never know what a conversation with your kids are like until they come home and say, Mom, our friends are talking about your wet-ass pussy video.
So they agree to disagree, which Rena says puts them at a dead end for their friendship. And Rena says, you know, I'm there for you, and I've always been there for you. If you want me, okay? And she's like, and I'm there for you too, which was the Beverly Hills way of saying, fuck you, bitch, fuck you, hate your face.
Yes. So then they all go on a private plane to see Erica in New York City playing Roxy Hart.
Yeah, Sutton has arranged the plane, and she's like, Lord mercy, is it a big grand gesture to get a private plane just to take it to New York? No, I do not think so. I do not think so.
I mean, please, we have to. We've got a very boring pregnant woman to travel with.
So Garcelle's not coming. Everyone's like, who doesn't want to be here on a private jet watching Erica to go see Erica Jane in Chicago, a role that I played 18 years ago?
So then we're in New York in Times Square, and they're all taking pictures of Erica on her big poster in Times Square. It's like, can you believe this shit? And then we start getting the ending credit things.
And we should mention that Erica does one last TED Talk of,
I always keep my eye on the prize, okay? If Roxy in Chicago is possible, what's next? What's the next great thing? Am I going to do a reboot of Wendy the Snapper Lady? Will there be a, I don't know, maybe I could be Wendy from Wendy's. I don't know, I could wear a red wig. What's it going to be?
I'll tell you this much, you better watch your tits, lady from Progressive Commercials.
Flo. So Erica earned rave reviews for her performance on Broadway, but the show was shut down after 2 months due to COVID-19, and she returned to L.A. to be with Tom.
And all that jazz. Got it.
And Garcelle is at a bunch of Black Lives Matter protests because, of course, after this season was filmed, the world went crazy, okay? So we kind of see everybody dealing with COVID and, you know, all the stuff we're all dealing with right now in real life.
Yeah, Garcelle realized she wasn't too sweet on Chocolate Michael, so she's on the hunt for someone spicier. And then Teddy had her daughter, Dove, and like me or don't like me, good or bad, this is who I am. And guess what? My sleeves lost weight. All in. Teddy Mellencamp.
My kid Slate now is calling me Mommy with the Thinner Shoulders. So it all worked out in the end.
Kyle goes, you know, lately I've been finding myself analyzing all the little things that I can live without, people and things, but I choose not to. Okay, just put in an Amazon order for everything from Dorit's house. Great, champagne bottle in the pool coming tomorrow.
And then Denise's big update is, I've been cutting a fucking artichoke like Martha Stewart did on her Instagram, so.
You can be a wild thing and a protective mom at the same time. Am I right?
Hmm. And then Rena dancing.
Way,
oh, go ahead.
By the way, there was also a lie that was told because Kyle's official update was that Kyle's fashion line is being sold online and her loungewear is selling through the roof during quarantine. I am not feeling like that.
I'm not buying that either.
Yeah. I don't know whose roof it's selling through, but they must have very, very short walls. It's a low roof to sell through.
KyleShahida.com. Well, she does have a cute website on it right now, okay? Don't miss out, Kyle X Shahida, okay? Join our list and be the first to know about new arrivals, seasonal sales, events, and more, okay? So tacky.
Denise's official update is that The Bold and Beautiful was one of the first shows to restart production, and because of health protocols, Aaron has been a stand-in for Denise's love scenes.
Sexy. So then Rinna is dancing around with the broom, and she's like, you know what? No one wants to deal with their stuff. I mean, wouldn't we all like to sweep it under the rug? Well, I can't. I'm a truth seeker. If there is truth to be had in America. I was like, oh my God, is this a Republican National Convention? She's like that lady.
Who's yet? .com. How are you, America? That's amazing. That woman needs to be on Real Housewives of Dallas. Now that Leanne Locke is get Kimberly Guilfoyle on there. I mean, that's a terrible woman, but she's perfect for perfect for a Real Housewives franchise. She could just do that at the end of every dinner, you know? Oh. The best is yet to come.
Dorit's big ending is that she's making YouTube videos of her kid doing a cooking show, Phoenix.
Yeah, and the Capri room is closed at the moment, temporarily.
I've been to Capri. And that brings us to the end of another season.
Wait, the final line of the episode is Dorit saying, you know, I think this is a group of ladies who can look past the disagreement and move forward. I'm like, okay. Haven't seen it yet, but, you know, I love that for you.
Yeah, love that positivity, babe. Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us this season. We will be back with reunions for the next month, I'm guessing. Yeah. So be here for that. And it's going to be a spicy reunion because Rinna, after the reunion, her Instagram was like, well, that reunion was bullshit. So I guess she's going
to be good.
I guess it's not going to end well for her. But we'll be there to check it all out. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for being with us, Crappins on Demand people. We will be back tomorrow with Real Housewives of New York City. Bye.
Bye.